I'm going to keep this sermon short because what you saw here was the sermon in practice, in intercession practice. I'm sharing on the prodigal son this morning. That's exactly what God was doing just now, is calling in these prodigal sons. So I'm just so stoked at God's goodness. Not that he was wanting to do what I wanted to do. I was just actually giving some handles on what he was planning to do today. And that is to call in the sons and daughters, the prodigal sons and daughters. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're God. And in this moment, I can just again realize and see how big and awesome and humongous and perfect and loving and kind and merciful and graceful and Emmanuel-like you are. I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that this word, Lord, that you've already shared with us now, that it will fall in good ground, Lord, and the seeds that you sow will bear fruit. Lord, we don't send this message out to us here, Lord. Lord, we go and we plant this message in the Spirit in this area and to those that need to hear it. Thank you, Father God, that you'll give your sons and daughters what they need even in their sleep. They don't have to sit in this church. You'll give it to them in their sleep. So thank you, Lord, that you'll give this message to them, that you'll call them back, that you'll call their hearts back to you even in their sleep. And then they'll come and fellowship with us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We've been doing a... Sure. Thank you, Lord. Anybody feel like preaching? That's just a bit intense moments there. And I'm just thankful for God opening up our eyes and our hearts just to enter into the way He's thinking and the way He operates. Because man, oh man, the enemy in this world wants to suck us dry and swallow us in, but it will not. It will not. It will definitely not. God placed on my heart that we should chat about sonship a while back, and that's what we've been doing. The first message in the series was about slavery, and quite a heavy topic. And you guys that was here can remember that. There's a big battle between living like a son and living like a slave. And as I said, there's certain areas of our lives that we might still believe the lies of the enemy, where there is slavery. And we're just trusting God that He will reveal and bring freedom in that areas. And I definitely include myself in that prayer because He's busy, constantly busy with sanctification all through your work with Him. So don't feel too bad. If in certain areas you still think like a bit of a slave and not like a son or a daughter. For those that did not hear it, if I say son, it's not gender-based. I know you guys are all open-minded. You know, I'm not being sexist or biased. It's not gender-based. It's a place in the Spirit. You take a place in the Spirit. It's a picture that God showed us, that you are like a son to Him. You are, in fact, a son to Him and a daughter to Him. And He uses biological parents and biological fathers and sons just as a picture to show His truth and character towards us. That's why I did not send the Messiah as a king or a democratic leader or a president or a prime minister or a first minister. He sent him as a son. They were expecting something else, the people of the day, but God sent a son. Who we are not determined by what we do, but whose we are. Who we are, just think it through. Who we are is not determined by what we do, but whose we are. Said it a million times before. I always thought I was Afrikaans. I was blank or wit, as some might say. And then I was a VP supporter. And I studied law and I became a prokureur. So there's a lot of stuff in life that wants to give you a tag, give you an identity. So I wore a suit with a tie. And some people might think, wow, he's a lawyer. Nobody ever knew what my salary was, especially in Malmesbury. But as soon as I had a suit on and I said that I'm Retief, I'm a lawyer in the business sense, they reacted in a certain way. But that is not who I am. None of those things determine who you are. There's a lot of other stuff that the world wants to throw at you saying, this is who you are. That is not. Who we are is not determined by what we do, but whose we are. Put that in your proverbial pipe. Don't smoke it, but just put it in your pipe. The last time we spoke about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is just so key in our sonship walk with the Lord. Those who are led by God's Spirit will be called God's sons. Romans 8:14. So Jesus is the first son that God sent. He's the key. He's the access point. So once I have faith in Him, I have access to this amazing world, this amazing life of sonship with God. Now it starts there, and I said last week, just to quickly capture that again, it starts off by faith in Christ, but for some people, unfortunately, it ends there as well. So I say, yes, I believe in Christ, and now I just live on my life like I used to. But no, Jesus is not only the key to sonship for me, but He's also, He shows me how. He's both the access and the way, the how, the do of sonship. So we need to get back to the Word and go look at that and what Jesus did. We shared it last week. I'm not going to reiterate everything, but Jesus did only what He saw the Father doing, and He only said what He heard the Father saying. In other words, He just walked in cahoots with Christ all day long. With God, what did I say? Doesn't sound too wrong, but yeah. Baie dankie, Edna. Goed om mevrou te hê. But all of you guys probably know that it's not that easy to walk by the Spirit constantly. We aspire to it and we try, and we trust God that He will help us through love and relationship. But it is a process of getting there. Chastising the flesh, circumcising the heart, saying no, and then on the other hand saying yes, that the Spirit man can be raised and rule over the flesh. This week, very quickly, we're going to look at the parable of the lost son or the prodigal son. Now, most of you guys must say, firstly, I've heard the story, and secondly, I am in church, so why do you want to share that with me? But I believe there is a few key points for us as well, being here, about this particular young gentleman or gentlemen. I'm not going to share the gory detail, but I can so see myself in that story. Unfortunately, Edna can also tell you a lot about that. Is that, sy het my daar tussen die varke kom kry. And there she started to share with me, in my drunken state, in my hurt, broken, totally rejected, without identity, without authority or destination, she found me in a place and she just shared the simple love of God, but in a true way, an unreligious way that was new and fresh to me. And I came to my senses, praise God. And today, I'm fortunate enough to stand here, not deserving it, that I may have had as well. But let's rather get into scripture. He also said, a man who had two sons, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. Who's ever taken part in foolish living? Right, and Jesus kerk mense. So maybe this message is for us. Great stuff. But yeah, there's some other translations put some interesting words in there, but they refer to it as foolish living. Now I can explain to you afterwards what foolish living is if you really want to know, but it's really not smart living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he had nothing. So hy het gesê, Papa, dankie. Opgemors. Niks oor nie. Thank you. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Some of you have taken part in foolish living. Has any of you guys ever had the work of feeding pigs? Not. Good on you. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion." That word is important. Compassion. "He ran, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father told his slaves, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." Who of you, by the show of hands, who of you have ever felt in that place during your life? You don't have to. Some people don't necessarily end up there. Praise God for that. But in my life, all things just came apart and the wheels just came off spectacularly. And by the grace of God, there was a moment, verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said. There needs to come a moment where we come to our senses. I'm so glad for the ministry time, not to reflect what the message is, but because we're actually praying for people. Two words were there, two parts is important. Compassion. His father had compassion on him. Likewise, we need to generate a compassion. And in a moment, we were praying for what? Those moments that we had, that we came to our senses. And likewise, the people that we gathered here in front, we trust in God and say, "Lord, may they have that moment where even though they've squandered everything, even though they're throwing everything away, may they have the moment where they come to their senses and return to you." Now, obviously, this is a picture. Firstly, the context. The context is important. It's not written for us, but we can use it. It's definitely useful to us. Who was this written to? Who did Jesus have in mind when he shared this? Firstly, sinners. The son that squandered everything, walked away from the father. So it was for sinners. And then, we're going to get to that just now. The other son, the older brother, was the Pharisees. So he had two in mind, the sinners and the Pharisees. Now there's three sons in the story. Who's the three sons? There's three sons in the story. Who are they? Yes, spiritually speaking, but correct. There were three sons. The older brother, we're going to get to him now. The young one that got the inheritance went and squandered it, but in his father's eyes was dead. The one that came back, the righteous one, the one that came to his senses. Just a picture for us of living out in the world, living your own life, living up a dream, coming to a place of absolute wreckage, coming to your senses and then returning to God, and then through salvation, coming to life again. So it's the three sons that's very important, and you can now start thinking, "Lord, where am I in this whole picture?" We've not chatted about the oldest son yet. That's quite an interesting story. But where am I at? Hopefully, most of us are in the right spot. And just on the father's heart and catching the father's heart before we move on, just quickly. Look what the father did then. Where were the father? Where was the father when the son decided to return? He was at home. Where exactly at home? On his estate? It's also in the country. Absolutely. But he could see his son when he was still a while of a way, way down the road, if I can call it that. He was able to see his son. So was he in the kitchen? Probably not. He was probably on the stoop, on the porch. Now the picture of that, obviously this is a parable that Jesus used, but the picture of that is, we can see, we can put it, puzzle it together, that the father was waiting, maybe hoping, for his son's return. Because when his son was still far off, he could see him down the road. Jy kan jouself voorstel, ek haar hoop plaas. En jy gaan vir oupa en ouma kuier. Hulle sien die stofstreep aan die ander kant oor die bilte. Was nie baie bilte in die Karoo nie. Ander landskap. In die Swartland, 'n plaas. Jy sien die stofstreep oor die bilte. And they get excited. Mama, is die koeksisters reg? Is die koffie warm? Mama, die kinders is hier. That moment that they were waiting. The other evening, Edna saw me. I was standing at our back door. Some friends of ours were coming over for supper, and I was very hungry. So I was standing at the back door, seeing when the car, this yellow, by the way, yellow cakes with my weird. I was wondering when their car will arrive. I was eager to see them, but I was quite hungry as well, and everything was set and ready. And we have that moment of excitement, not only thinking of our stomachs, but wanting to fellowship. Poor Frida was asking, Vanakumala? Not for a half an hour, the whole day. The whole day. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I think it's my bikini mirror or Bianca. So there's an excitement brewing, and there's a longing, and there's a faith, there's a hoping. And likewise for the people that we've prayed earlier for, I believe God stands on his heavenly porch looking down the road saying, man, when is my son returning? When is my daughter coming down the road? What happened in that moment? Once he spots them, he runs to go meet. He doesn't wait on the porch. Oh yeah, he kom 'n klein blik emmer wat alles weggesmyt het. That's not the heart. That's not the heart of God. Sometimes people would like to paint that picture of God. But this parable, this picture that Jesus told us, tells something totally different. He was eagerly waiting on the porch. And when he saw his son, he ran down to meet him, probably at the gate. And then he embraced him. Now just quickly on that, I don't know the custom of that day, but you've probably heard it before. He had to run. And he had a... What did he have gehad? Like a kaftan type of long thing. So what I've heard it said, that he would have needed to pull up this rokki to be able to run. And people would have seen his legs and his knees, which is most probably not a very good thing. Or that was nie, wat klink nou die Engelse woord? Sê weer? Ja, it was undignified. Dankie my vrou, jy help my vandag verskriklik baie. It was undignifying for him to run firstly and then secondly to pull up his skirt and for people to see his knees. That probably is for all of you like, that's weird. I understand the part of Swartland and that picture, but this is just weird. But anyway, that was how it was. He had a bit of a rocky on, he pulled it up, so it was totally undignified and he ran to go greet his son. For us, it's just what? A picture of God's heart towards the loss and towards us. If we are found wanting. The nuts and bolts of today is just the following for us. There's three elements here that he gets established in this young lad's life again. So he took everything, he took material stuff, he squandered it by foolish living, he came back with nothing, literally nothing, materially. But also spiritually, things were lacking. He had nothing. He wanted what? He wanted to come back as a slave. He didn't want to come back as a son. But what does this father give him after he's run down the road and he meets him? What does he give him? Three things gets established: identity, destiny, and authority. I might ask you, how the heck did that happen? Identity, destiny, and authority. Maybe just let's quickly push the pause button. Who of you guys are sure of your identity? Maybe not raise your hands. Maybe it's not a good idea. You skip the raise. You just go like this, or do it in your heart. But just let's do some checks and balances. It's not to be right and wrong. It's to say, God, where can you help me? God, where can you reestablish something? Who of you guys are sure of your identity? Who of you are sure of your destiny? Where are you going? And then authority. What authority do you have? Now, obviously, if you're a policeman, you can tell me this is the type of a boete bessie. Ek kan pink briefie skryf. Dit is snaaks. Kom as dankie. Willem, lag dan. Thanks, Willem. But for you as a son and daughter of God, for you as a Christian sitting here in a church, what is the authority that you possess? Identity, destiny, authority. Check your own heart, and you'll see now just why I say that. Verse 22. But the father told his slaves, "Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." So he comes home with nothing materially. Jesus is painting us a picture. His father is restoring him. His father was longing for him, and he gives him three things, save for the fatted calf. But he gives him three things, and it speaks of elements in our lives. The first one, he gives him a robe. I've named it the robe of identity. Quickly close your eyes. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you talk to us, and that you give us wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust the Holy Spirit now to show you a color, just in your heart, to show you a color. If you believe that the Lord has shown you a color in your heart, just maybe raise your hand. And I at least know there's three people I can work with. Thank you, Lord, that you just come and show us a color that is on your heart. Amen. We'll get back to that just now. The robe of identity. He grabs his son and he says, "Get the best robe." And he puts it on him. What happened in my life? I lost everything. I came back. I came to my senses. Praise God, I met my wife. But I've even better than that, I met Jesus. I came to my senses. I got back to the Father, and he gave me a new identity. My identity was shot by rejection, lies, self-hatred, hatred, lust, and a lot of it, fear. And then just the pride of life. So I was just totally confused, and God came and he gave me a new identity. In fact, he gave me a new name, as the word says. Somebody prophesied over me and gave me a new name. I'm not going to share it now, but it was just, I'm standing on that daily of who God says I am. Who does God say you are? Hoef jy te antwoord nie. Wil jy net die moet dink. Who does God say you are? Because believe you me, you will be tested on that. He gave him a new robe. There's a very nice story in Mark 10, 46 to 52. Quickly going to read it. Now they came to Jericho. It's not on there. As he went out of Jericho, with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So it's a blind man sitting and begging. Everybody got the picture. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Again, think of this a bit deeper. You've painted the picture, but think of it a bit deeper. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So he took his robe, the blind man, got up, took his robe, threw it off, rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received sight and followed Jesus on the road. Awesome picture, awesome miracle, but there's a deeper picture here. Here's this guy sitting there year in, year out, blind. Blind to some more. Jesus comes along. He cries out, "Come, please save me." The religious folk of the day says, "Be quiet. Die Messias, stop hier verby. Wees stil, wees blind, bly net daar. Moet hom nie pla nie." The religious folk of the day says, "Stay blind, just stay there. Keep your robe on." But he shouts again and he says, "Jesus!" And then Jesus hears him and calls him. He stands up and he throws off his coat or his robe. He throws off the old identity. He throws off the old identity of the blind man sitting next to the road. He comes to Christ and Christ gives him sight. It's just a picture of what God does in our life. I was blind, blind to some mole. Ek het nie gesê dronk soos 'n tor nie, ek het gesê blind soos 'n mol. Dis net 'n grapie. Check net wie wakker is. But God had to take off my old robe. When at last I came to my senses. And then he gave me sight. And he gave me a new identity. What is the color of your robe? I just believe this sometimes we're just asking God, we're just being children of God. It's not a scientific experiment. We're trusting the Lord. What is the color of the robe you're wearing? How is it looking? God might be revealing something about your true identity or a fake or a lie over your identity at the moment. I have no idea what the Lord has shown you, but I do trust that He has spoken to you. You can, in accountability, go chat to somebody and say, "Well, I've got this shot old, stinkerige, muverige, black robe on. Please pray with me to restore the truth." God wants to restore our identity as sons and daughters. What is the robe you're wearing? Next element. The sandals of destiny. You know that in Ephesians, it speaks of the armor of God and the shoes of readiness to declare the gospel. In other words, you've got boots on, and these boots are made for walking. And that's just what they'll do. And one of these days, they'll walk all over the enemy. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Of course, of course. This is my forte. But God gives you shoes for the destiny that He's taking you on. Are you walking in circles? Don't you know where you're going? Or do you have a destiny? I would say that if you don't have an identity, you'll probably not have a very clear destiny. I like to use Dwayne Vermeulen. Maybe I'll meet him someday. But young Dwayne Vermeulen at 17 years of age or 18 years of age, wherever he was schooled, was probably quite good in rugby. And was at that stage probably quite big as well. The beard might not be as rough as it is today. But he was good at rugby. That probably helped him to identify with certain people and certain things. And his destiny was to a certain degree laid out for him. Very simple picture. But what is your destiny? If you come back like the prodigal son, if you say, Lord, I am your son, thank you very much. He puts your new identity on you. That comes with new sandals as well. It comes with the destiny. We don't always have the full picture. Just look at Johan now, and I just realized we're in seasons where we knock and where we ask, and where God just shows us a little bit and then a little bit, and he puzzles it together, and we follow him by faith. But the destiny is that we want to see the kingdom come in our lives and in others' lives, even though we don't have the full picture. Close your eyes, let's pray. Father God, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you'll show us our shoes, our sandals today. Pray, Holy Spirit, if we don't see anything, it's not the end of the world. We're just trusting you like little children. Lord, come and show us, what does my shoes look like? Am I bare feet? Have I lost one somewhere? Have I put something else on? Or do I have your sandals or your boots on that you've given me for the destiny that you've called me on? Pray, Holy Spirit, please speak into hearts. Whisper truth into hearts. Bring revelation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8 verse 29. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Those he foreknew. He had planned the things he had planned for us, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. We've been called to be disciples. We chatted about it yesterday at Encounter. We've been called to be disciples, to be followers of Christ. If we in Afrikaans say, the appel val nie ver van die boom nie, it's probably because the son is doing many things that the father has done. Mannerisms, ways of speaking, ways of doing, ways of walking, ways of shouting vir die bille. He does it the same as the father. Even the way he soaks his choppies is many a times the same as the Father. Likewise, we've been called to walk in the footsteps of our Father, being the footsteps of Christ. What does your sandals look like? And lastly, the ring of authority. Without identity, you will not know your destiny. And without authority, you'll probably not reach your destiny. I can have identity, but not fully walk in the authority that I've been given, hence missing my destiny. Does this make sense? It's not ticking the box. It's just being. If I am a son, I'll know where I'm going. And if I know where I'm going, the way that I'm going to get there, because there's an enemy, it's a long road, it's a tough road, I'll need to walk in the authority that I've been given as a son. How do I know what that authority is? How do I know what that authority is, guys? The Word of God. The Rhema Word as well. The promises of God helps establish those things. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, and remember, with all due respect, this is your older brother speaking. This obut. With respect, but just to get the context. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. The word. You can just read the word. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus got all authority and he gave it unto his disciples to go do what? Make disciples. Are we one of them? One or two of them? Yes, we are. It's been coming down for ages. We are disciples. And the same authority. And behold, lo, chill eight, muniwarini, I am with you. The Holy Spirit is with us in all ages. Last week, who listened to Shaul's testimony last week? A couple of you guys. That's a guy that's walking in some form of authority. Am I right? Is Shaul any different than any of us? Is the Spirit that lives in Shaul and the Christ that he follows any other than any of you guys? Not at all. Not at all. Lastly, Luke 10 verse 19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents, as Jesus speaking, upon serpents and scorpions. For those weird analogy, but remember it's a spiritual picture. He's saying that you can trample upon spiritual snakes and spiritual scorpions. I bet you can probably try that in the natural as well, but you try it first and then you tell me. I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Just imagine you look at the front page of the paper. Look at CNN. Look at the news. Look at the nonsense people talk with respect. And then you try to figure out what the power of the enemy is. Seems quite huge sometimes, eh? You look at the destruction in this world and the sadness and the sickness and the heartache. And you try to say, well, that is all probably because of the power of the enemy. Then Jesus says this, behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing. Is this nothing? No, it's something. This is nothing. This is nothing. This is how nothing looks like. This is nothing. This is how much nothing is. I repeat. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Have you guys been hurt? Yes, you have. Well, there's a problem. That's contrary to the scripture. It's contrary to the word of God. I'm going to repeat this again. Remember, guys, sons and daughters of God, identity, destiny, authority. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It does not come dished on a silver platter. If they say I've driven too fast and they give me a buta, a speeding fine, they've got the authority to do that. But they need to follow through and say, look, here's your buta. I'm going to send a summons if you do not pay. And then I adhere. They need to act upon that authority. Likewise, I can have the ring. Some guys out there are married. They've got rings. But it doesn't mean too much. You need to act upon the ring. You need to act upon and within the authority that you've been given. You can do a lot of stuff with your eyes and your heart and your body, even though you've got a ring. Likewise for believers, let's act upon the authority and follow through and enforce. Sorry, but that's quite frankly what we need to do with the enemy. Enforce the authority as a son and daughter. So if lies come, pa, 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 attacking, get into the word. Remind yourself, identity, destiny, authority. say, but this nonsense. This is not nothing. This is something. And you step on it. I'm speaking far, far, far today. But I'm sure you're getting the drift. I'm going to end off. We're not going to get into the eldest son today. We've run out of time. We're going to do it in 4 minutes. Just going to read through the scripture of the oldest son. And here's where we need to also just check our hearts. You might have come a long way, squandered everything. The father came, he hugged you, gave you these three things. And I want you guys to go think and meditate. Check on, where's my thought life and my heart around my identity as a son and daughter? Think it through and pray it through about your destiny. That I'm not saying you need to know perfectly well exactly where you're going, but at least you know you're following Christ. You're busy with a kingdom lifestyle. You're busy with a kingdom calling. That's your destiny. And then thirdly, to enforce the authority that nothing can hurt you. The eldest son, verse 25, Luke 15, 25. Now his oldest son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I've been slaving many years for you and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, this son of yours, look, he's not saying my brother, when this son of yours, hierdie vrou van jou, hierdie dogter van jou, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitute, foolish living, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Quickly, two things on that. Jesus is referring to the Pharisees here, the religious folk of the day. Quite frankly, it can be us. We've had the privilege, as a lost son, to come back to the Father. But now we get busy with the things of life. We get busy with the things of the kingdom. We get busy with the things of church and church life. And religiosity, if I may call it that, can kick in. Where my heart gets hardened to the broken one that God brings in and bestows all his blessing and favor and grace upon, even though I have everything here. Sam shared just this morning with me that we should pray for our country and pray for the lost souls and the disenfranchised. But I need to go check my heart. Is the compassion there? Remember, the Father is like he was for you and me, standing on the porch waiting for you and me to come down the road. Likewise, he's standing on that same porch, figuratively speaking, waiting for the multitudes, waiting for the nations, waiting for the hurt and broken, the disenfranchised. He's waiting, waiting, waiting. And if we're out in the field and we cannot celebrate with him as they come in and they get restored with the best robe, the best ring, and the best sandals, we need to ask him, Lord, work on our hearts. And I ask it in this moment, God, work in our hearts. And then the second thing is familiarity. We live in a culture where we grow up with Christianity. You just tick a box on a form, I'm a Christian. In my case, I'm Afrikaans, white, I'm a Christian. And you just go on. And for some people, it stays that way. It's not the Christianity of the Word. It's not the Christianity of the Word. Let's be careful of familiarity. What did God, what did the Father say to the eldest son? But you've got everything. An older son that's living the true life out. I believe we saw last week in Shaw. He's going through a good season of his life. But he's got such a passion and love. He's celebrating with us if there's favor in our lives. He celebrates with us if somebody gets healed. He gets passionate and compassion for these people. Let's trust the Lord that familiarity not come and stifle the things that God wants to do. If I say God and church and cell group and Bible and time with God and worship, thoughts pop up in your heads. If I go out in Asia or the underground church in Iraq and I say to them, church, fellowship, cell group, Bible, time with God, worship, a totally different picture might pop up. I believe the enemy comes in with lies of familiarity that we don't realize with who we're dealing really. Whose spirit are we really dealing with? What love and what compassion are we actually busy with? And this is just to say, Lord, help us all, me firstly, that familiarity don't creep in the door, as I believe was the case for the eldest son. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for divine order. I thank you for love. I thank you, Father God, that you do a deep work. What you've started in our lives, you will complete. Lord, I speak and I pray over our church and each and every person in our church, each and every member, Lord, that these things, these three things will be established. Identity, destiny, and authority. Pray, Lord, that you will speak to us concerning our robes, our sandals, and our rings, Lord. And that we will walk in the fullness of your truth, the fullness of the revelation of your truth for each and every person. And it will be different because you're an awesome God. But that we will walk in that fullness and that true revelation. And if there's anything false and contrary to that, I pray that in the season, by your grace, and as we say yes, by our free will, you will take false identities, false destinies, and false authorities away from us. And lastly, Lord, we thank you that you just help us and save us from just religious dead acts and hardening our hearts towards younger brothers coming to Christ or wanting or needing to come to Christ. And also familiarity, Lord, to become too familiar with your things and the things of your church and your word, Lord, that in our minds and because of our lack, it loses power. You've never lost power, Lord. You've never lost a little bit of love. You've never lost any bit of your ability. But maybe just in our minds and hearts sometimes. And we repent of that. We repent of that. We want to know the fullness of your spirit, the fullness of your word, the fullness of Christ in our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Ek het dit nou baie geniet. Thank you, guys. It's a privilege to share with you. Please, if there's the three things we touched on, if the Holy Spirit worked in your heart, chat with me, with Edna, with whomever you're accountable with or walk with. We can pray now, but if it's something you need to work through at home, just don't leave it. Because remember, as Edna said, some people might be in churches or in following the Lord or ticking boxes as Christians for 20, 30, and 40 years and never change. Never move in the destiny that God's got for them. And we don't want to be that people.